Yesterday, I took my son out on a hike. My wife and my daughter went shopping for a special dress for her promotion ceremony that she's going to have. And we just decided to go on a walk in the desert and go lizard and snake catching. We had a lot of fun. We found some amazing habitat. We went to a place that we've never been before. And I said, well, sometimes when you flip over artificial debris, you might find snakes under there. So I flipped over a little board, and we saw a little tail of a baby snake go into a hole. And it's called a sand snake or a shovel-nose snake. I said, oh, we better dig him out before it gets too deep. And so I jumped in there and I started digging. And I dug him out, and to my surprise, there was more than one snake in there. So we found a spotted leaf-nose snake also, which is an exciting snake to find. And so to me, that was just really fun. I was having a blast. For some people, that's terror, that's fear. And, you know, there's a lot of things that people are afraid of, and snakes is certainly not one for me. I'm not afraid of snakes. I respect them and appreciate them. For some people, you know, there's a lot of fears in their lives, and there's things that make them anxious. You know, there's talk about earthquakes in Southern California. There's a big movie coming out called San Andreas. If you've seen some of the special effects in there, it's not looking good for Southern California. So there's a lot of people that fear that, and there's a new scientific model that was just published that says there's a little bit of a higher chance of us receiving a big earthquake or experiencing a big earthquake. You know, they're predicting this to come, and it's going to occur in Southern California. And some people might get really terrified over that possibility. And it's you know, something that is certainly within the realm of possibility. I don't know if you've ever visited Yellowstone National Monument, but it's a beautiful place. But underneath that entire park is one of the largest supervolcanoes in the world. And if this thing erupted, it would be bad news for the U.S. It would literally change the climate of the entire world if it went off. Not good. Certainly something to maybe have a little bit of worry about. I mean, we don't want that thing to happen, but we probably believe that it's not going to happen anytime soon, at least while we're here on this planet. Well, if you also consider our national debt, you know, there's a webpage you can go to, and you can actually watch, they call it the debt clock. You can actually literally sit there and watch the U.S. rack up debt. And if you just start staring at that for a little while, you start to get nervous. And I think, you know, if everybody had that for all of their debt, maybe we'd have a little bit less debt in the U.S. But you could get really anxious just sitting there watching that debt clock go. And there's some predictions that, you know, if our national debt spirals out of control, you know, the dollar could lose its value, and it could cause problems for everybody. It could lead to, civil unrest. And then even the potential of us losing some of our civil liberties. So it's definitely something that would be scary if it indeed happened. Well, all of these things, you know, we should be afraid of at some level. Maybe even we should prepare for some of these events. You know, we can have an earthquake kit, just in case something happens, have drinking water, food, you know, whatever you think you might need. Or maybe, you know, in regard to the national debt, if we strive to become debt-free, then that actually contributes to some level of improvement, because a lot of our national debt is personal debt. So the thing is we should never become overly anxious about any of these things. God does not want us to be consumed with fear. He doesn't want us to think about these things too much. We should have a sense of urgency that's healthy, but we should not become anxious, and even worse, it could lead to something that just rules your life and could lead to depression. But what I want to do is take a look at coping with fear from a biblical perspective. We're going to look at what God and Jesus Christ teach us about coping with fear. So my first point I want to make here is this. Realize that fear is not a part of what God wants for us. Realize that fear is not a part of what God wants for us. Now, I use the Bible Gateway webpage to search the New King James Version of the Bible for certain phrases. I searched, "Do not be afraid," and 65 references came up. Additionally, I searched Be Not Afraid, and 83 references came up. And I know if we change that phrase around, we would find different versions of it throughout the rest of the Bible. It's abundantly clear in Scripture that God does not want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to be overly fearful. Now, when God is talking with people and angels interacting with people, you'll notice something in Scripture. There's always a phrase, be not afraid or fear not. Let's actually read a little bit of that. We're going to turn to Daniel. So let's turn to Daniel chapter 10. We're going to read verses 7 through 9 at first. We're actually going to read quite a bit here. We're going to see that the angel here that's interacting with Daniel goes way out of his way to comfort Daniel and to build him up and to tell him not to be afraid. So by picking this up at verse 7, Daniel 10, verse 7, basically what's happened is Daniel has had a vision. He's had a glimpse at what an angel potentially looks like. We don't really know exactly what that was, but it was probably very amazing. So Daniel was weakened by being in the presence of an angel. Let's read in verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled and hid themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me. My vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. So let's continue reading here in Daniel 10. So in verse 10, it says, suddenly a hand touched me. Now what's interesting here is when the hand touched Daniel here, it made him afraid. So it says, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved. Now think about that phrase, an angel, potentially Gabriel, we don't really know for sure, but it seems like it might be the case, touched him and said, man greatly beloved. This is coming from one of God's archangels. He's calming Daniel. He's telling Daniel that in the spiritual realm, you are greatly loved by God, by Christ, and by the angels. Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. So Daniel's still afraid. Now read in verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Now here, Daniel is continuing to build, the angel is continuing to build Daniel up. He's telling him that his relationship with God is a good one. He's reassuring him. He says, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now, in verse 14, it says, now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. So you can see that Daniel's still very nervous. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of man touched my lips. So here he was touched again by the angel. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of this vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved. Again, he's reminding Daniel how much the spirit realm loves him, how much God and Christ and the angels love him. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So this angel is encouraging Daniel, building him up, and giving him reassurance. Let's go ahead and finish reading here. It says, so when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. So here, Daniel is realizing that this angel has strengthened him, has encouraged him. So essentially what's going on here in this discourse, Daniel is experiencing two types of fear. First, he's in the presence of an angel, of a spirit being. Now, consider that, how amazing that would be, how humbling that would be, and maybe even using the word scary. That's a pretty amazing thing. These are powerful beings, far different than anything that we're used to being around. That was probably a very troubling experience for Daniel. So here the angel, again, is reassuring Daniel. He reminds Daniel that his relationship with God is a good one, is a strong one. And he simply tells him, don't be afraid. Now let's actually read again. I'm going to read, for emphasis, I'm going to read again in verse 12. It says, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. This is an amazing bit of scripture here when we read this in Daniel. So here we have one of God's angels, and I personally believe it's Gabriel, reassuring Daniel. He knew how to handle Daniel. He built him up. He reminded Daniel of his relationship with God. And by talking to him, reasoning through him, and telling him not to fear, and by intervention, somehow through a spiritual touch, he was encouraged and strengthened. And that, to me, is amazing. So in the scripture, he was actually touched three times by this angel. So the second type of fear Daniel is experiencing here is from the vision. If you read a lot of Bible commentaries, it says here that Daniel probably actually saw a part of the spirit realm. He might have seen some of the battles taking place between powerful angels. He also saw future events of his people, events that were not good. So that would obviously make him upset to know that the future of his people, there could be some war, there could be some bad things going to happen. That would certainly make him upset. And of course, again, witnessing the spiritual realm, probably unlike anybody else. I mean, he saw something that most of us only can read about. And that's what a vision is, right? It's something. He had a vision, a glimpse into the spirit realm. Certainly, what he saw here is more than what's mentioned here in the scriptures. Let's read it again for emphasis in verse 16. We're going to start again in the middle of the verse. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. So again, put yourself in Daniel's shoes here. What he experienced, what he saw, he's in the presence of an angel, and he's seen visions of the future, and he's had a glimpse into the spirit realm. Probably a very humbling experience. I'm going to read again in verse 18. Then again, the one having the likeness of the man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved. There again, the angel's building up Daniel. Fear not. Peace be to you. Pretty awesome discourse between an angel and a physical human being. By reading about Daniel's interaction here with the angel, it's clear that fear is not something that God wants for us. God wants to build us up, not in the wrong way, but he wants us to be confident that if we have a relationship with him, we could be strong. We could be a little bold about that. God does not want us to become anxious and consumed by fear. He knows that if we have too much of that, it could make us ill in the long run. And if we consider the many scriptures that we see here in scripture, or in the phrases, do not fear or be not afraid, they're so frequently found in the Bible, it makes it clear fear is not a part of what God wants for us. Now, the second point I have is we should recognize we do not face our problems alone. We can go to God for help. So consider this. You know, there's God the Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and the angels. And through Christ, God created all physical things, all the physical properties that govern the universe, gravity, electrical charge, everything. All of this was made by God, and He created the physical world with that. Space, the planets, and even life. He made everything, and He knows how it works and how it functions. All of this. And we know that Christ is going to be on this planet ruling for 1,000 years. And yet, with all of this, we have the blessing and the honor to have access to God the Father and Jesus Christ. That is truly awesome. Let's read in 1 Peter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of God are on the righteous. Now think about what that's saying. If you're doing what you're supposed to, God is watching you. And His ears are open to their prayers. There it is. God will listen to us. God will hear us. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So how exactly is it that God can hear our prayers? That to me is an amazing thing. It's certainly a miracle. It's a very powerful thing that takes place between humankind and God. It's maybe one way to help us understand that as we think about how phone calls work on a cell phone or how we can send so much data through the internet and without cords being connected to devices. You literally have a handheld device and you can look at amazing images and read text and hear music and do all sorts of things. And that's fairly abstract when you really think about it. You know, here we're taking advantage of the electromagnetic spectrum in a very deep way. And it's not hooked up. It's just through air. It seems in a way like a miracle. It's not. You know, it's governed by physical properties. But maybe that's kind of like what God is doing with us. You know, we can say our prayers. We can think our prayers. And God hears it. And that's pretty amazing. And I guess that's one thing that makes God so amazingly powerful. Now, do God and Christ both hear our prayers? I mean, we probably believe that God hears our prayers, but does Christ hear them as well? If we read in Matthew 6:9, it says, come to the Father. You know, we are instructed to pray to God the Father. And that's what Christ did when He was on this world as a physical human being. Let's take a look at Hebrews 7, verses 24 through 25. Hebrews 7, verses 24 through 25. Now, I have two scriptures from Hebrews here. I'm going to read them out of order, but the point of these scriptures is for us to see that most definitely Christ hears what we pray about. So in Hebrews 7, verse 24, it says, but He, because He continues forever, He referring to Christ, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. I looked up the word intercession here using the New King James, the New Testament Greek lexicon. The word here means to go to or meet a person, especially for the purpose of conversation, consultation, or supplication. Or another meaning is to pray or entreat. And a third definition is to make intercession for anyone. So that's the word intercession used here in Hebrews. Now we're going to back up a little bit to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read verses 15 through 16. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. So He knows us. He was once physical like us, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So I think these two scriptures together that we've read in Hebrews make it clear that Christ hears our prayers. So both God the Father and Jesus Christ hear our prayers. In fact, our connection to God is made possible through Jesus Christ. And actually, that's an important key concept. Our connection to God is made possible through Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at Romans 8:34. We're going to get some more supporting scripture here that Christ makes intercession with us. But it's interesting how it's put here in Romans. So Romans 8, verse 34. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, and is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. So here we have another scripture that says that Christ is making intercession for us. And if we turn over to 1 Timothy, there's a little bit more detail added here. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says this: For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. So there is only one mediator between God and us, and it's Jesus Christ. Christ understands us deeply. He was physical like us. He knows what we go through. He knows the feelings, the fears, the anxiety we experience. You know, he was physical like us, but he also created us. So he knows a lot about us. So when trouble comes our way, we should go quickly, and as we read earlier in Scripture, go boldly to God for help. And we need to make our requests known to God. Now, I know that in my life, I've had some issues where I thought, oh, this is something I should probably pray about, and I never did. I missed the opportunity. I didn't make my request known to God. Let's take a look at some Scripture for that fact. We should make our known or make our requests known to God. I'm actually going to read Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7, but I'm going to read it from two different translations. I'm going to go with New King James first, and then after that, I'm going to read from the Living Bible. So I'm going to read it from both, actually, so we can see the two different scriptures in parallel. So in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, there's a lot of information here about prayer and what can come of that. Basically, the scripture is telling us that we can receive peace of mind if we make our requests known by God. So I'm going to read this again from the Living Bible. It's interesting how it's put here. It says, Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your heart quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. That's pretty amazing. This really wraps up my entire message, the scripture here in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. So when we read all of this, it's clear that God wants us to be at peace. He doesn't want us to be overly afraid or overly anxious. He wants us to make our requests known to him. He wants us to come to him in prayer. And the beauty of all of this, when we put all these scriptures together, we can see that Christ will help us cope with fear and anxiety. And that can come in a lot of different forms. You know, it could be the fear of snakes. And I'll tell you, I don't fear snakes, but there is something I do fear. Deep water in the ocean when I cannot see what's underneath me. That bothers me very much. And I had a reoccurring dream about being attacked by a shark. And so that's not going to go away anytime soon. Probably when I get resurrected, I'll be okay. I'll be able to overcome that fear. But, you know, it's okay. If I go snorkeling, I can see around me. I can see in the water. I'm okay. But if I can't see underneath me, my imagination runs wild. Don't get me wrong. I love sharks. They're amazing creatures. But there's just that probability, that possibility that's there. So it's unsettling. And, you know, there's a lot of fear that can come from relationships, stress, you know, between individuals, you know, not getting along, fighting. And that's anxiety. That's fear. And, you know, we can come to God with that. We might have a stressful situation at work and think the worst. And I'll tell you, not too long ago, I did that. You know, my dean of academics, you know, she mentioned something. She says, there's going to be a restructuring of general education courses. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, what's going to happen? She's like, well, teaching assignments are not going to be guaranteed. I don't know what's going to happen. And so I'm walking down the hallway going, uh-oh. Are they firing everybody in general education? What's going on? And so my mind just went crazy. My wife can tell you, for a day or so, I was really stressed out. Because that's our bread and butter. My teaching is what takes care of us. So I got really stressed out, and finally I just went into the office and I said, okay, you got to tell me what's going to happen here, because if I need to go looking for another teaching job, I will. And she says, oh, no, it's not that. We have some issues with some instructors. I said, you are now our lead instructor for everything science, physics, and math. I'm like, oh, okay. It's a good thing. Well, it's not a good thing for everybody, but it is for me, so I'm being blessed. But, you know, we find ourselves in a situation, and we let our imagination run wild. And, you know, there's a fact about, you know, fears and things that we imagine could happen. And, you know, most of those things never come to fruition. So here is my third point. To help us cope with fear and anxiety, we can keep motivated by love, which casts out fear. So keep motivated by love, which casts out fear. So in 1 John 4:18, you don't have to turn there. I'll go ahead and read it for you. It says this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So this is really connected to the scripture that we read earlier in Philippians. We can see here that we can use love to help us cope with fear, and really it leads to peace of mind. You think about what love can do. Simple things. Like you see somebody's having a stressful day, somebody close enough to you where you can give them a hug. You can give somebody a hug and a few encouraging words, and that could really ease a lot of fear for somebody. And it makes you feel good too. And that's the thing, you know, when you do something kind for somebody, when you do an act of love, I think something chemical happens in your brain. It makes you feel better about life in general. You know you've done something kind and you feel good about it. So love can conquer fear. Just little things too. You know, you look at the people in this world, you know, driving to work, I just wonder what goes through some of the minds of the people on the road. They're so stressed out, and, you know, if I change lanes and, you know, they're still 5 or 6 car lengths behind me and it was a reasonable lane change, but they were not willing to share that lane. And so they lay on the horn and shout and whatever. I thought, wow, they must be really stressed out. And so, you know, you can see maybe if these people were a little bit more patient and, you know, relied on God to deal with fear and cope with fear, they wouldn't be like that. Open the door for somebody at the supermarket. You see they're having trouble. You know, you can change their day, and then they're going to turn around and maybe do something kind for somebody else. You've seen television commercials about that, right? And I was really surprised. Just recently, I had a situation teaching again. I teach over the Ontario campus at the school that I work for. We have a campus in Riverside as well. And there was a teacher that was dismissed there, and the students had no physics instructor. And nobody in the staff wanted to touch it. And so my dean says, hey, you want to go teach physics in Riverside? And I'm like, okay, sure. I had a time slot where it fit in. And she says, by the way, the students are very upset, and they're angry at their instructor, and they didn't learn anything. I'm like, okay. So I went down there, and I taught them half a physics course, and she was right. They were very upset, very anxious. And I said, well, okay, you guys are studying sound because they're students that are going to be in the diagnostic medical sonography career, the ultrasounds. I said, well, okay, forget electrical circuits, forget electromagnetism, forget light. Let's just do sound really, really well. And let's talk about energy because it relates to sound. So we're going to do energy and sound for the next 5 weeks. Everybody okay with that? And they were. They were okay with that. And I started just doing what I normally do with physics because it is my favorite class to teach. I could teach it all day. And literally, it is a five-hour class, so it's almost all day. But I had this one student call me because I gave him my cell phone numbers. And she called me, and she was crying. She says, I can't do physics. You know, the teacher before me, he didn't teach me anything. I'm so upset. I'm going to be kicked out of the program. And it's just horrible. And so I said, well, I said, you got to give me some time. I think we could make this happen for you. I said, well, first of all, we're being very focused on what we're doing, and it's connected to your career. I think it's going to be okay. I said, you just need to trust me and do the activities that I have planned, and you will be pleasantly surprised. And she said, okay. And I said, okay, I dealt with the student's concerns, and end of day, I'm not going to hear about it anymore. I'm done. Well, word got around on Facebook about this, and Mr. Richardson, he saved me. And I'm like, no, all I did was encourage you. I just told you that things are going to be okay, and we're going to make it through this. And she says, Mr. Richardson, I love you. And I told her, I said, I'm married. But she says, well, you know what I mean. I said, yeah, I know what you mean. I've been a student before. I understand this. And she bought me a Starbucks. So it's a pretty amazing impact that you can have on individuals. You can eliminate so much fear by using love. Sorry. It's been a while since I cried at the podium. I thought today would be a good day. All right. Let's see what Christ has to say about some of our worries. And actually, these worries are a little bit more mundane, a little bit more rudimentary as far as everyday life goes. Let's turn to Luke 12. We're going to read Luke 12, verses 22 through 31. I'm sure that you've read this many, many times. So starting in verse 22, it says, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So Christ is doing a little bit of reprimanding here, but also encouraging. Let's read in verse 29. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. So I have this bolded in my notes and highlighted too. So it's doubly important. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. So all of our necessities, food, clothing, and as we read earlier in some of the scriptures, peace of mind, all of this comes from a strong relationship with God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, and seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, I know that everybody experiences fear and anxiety at some point. We all do. It's part of being human. But we can keep our fears in check We can gain peace of mind by remembering these three points that I shared with you today, these three biblical points about fear and anxiety. Realize that fear is not a part of what God wants for us. We should recognize that we do not face our problems alone. We can go to God for help. And we can keep motivated by love because it casts out fear. Be not afraid.